So we're at verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. There's five of the verses that will all be together, those five. Usually, many of the Proverbs will stand on their own, each verse, but some of them will be related. And so from 20 to 24, it seems to give one basic thought in there. And remember that Proverbs, as far as doctrine goes, Proverbs applies doctrinally to the tribulation time period. As like Job, like many of the Psalms doctrinally are second coming passages. Whenever you find the word Selah, that is a clue in the Bible that it's a second coming passage. Now, when I say doctrinally, that's doctrines and absolute truth of God for a given period of time. Okay, but spiritually speaking, we could study the Bible from cover to cover. So basically, the rule of thumb is when we come through passages in the Bible and they seem to conflict with Paul's writings. If you don't know the answer at that time, you take Paul's writings. You take the simple writings of Paul first, and then you ask the Lord to guide you to understand what the doctrine is applied to. Okay, so now verse 20 to 24 is basically about understanding truth, being able to proclaim that truth. And so this is something that's universal through the Bible. There are some doctrines that are specifically for a specific period of time. Example of that is eternal security. Thank God that we live in an age where we have eternal security. Okay, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. Okay, and in the tribulation, they will not have that. And the people who believe you can lose your salvation, as of today, many of the Pentecostals, the Charismatics, well, Pentecostals, at least they know a little bit more Bible. The Charismatics, they're just a whole different ballgame with them. I mean, it's just a circus with them. Methodists generally believe they can lose their salvation. I'm talking in the past. Historically, Protestant denominations, Presbyterians and Baptists have believed in eternal security. Basically, all the rest believe they can lose your salvation. Dutch Reform also believe in eternal security. But you see, both sides will have scripture. When you talk to an Arminian, he'll give you scripture, usually out of Hebrews, to show you that you can lose your salvation. And then he'll take you to Matthew 24. Then he'll take you to James 2. Okay, and all those are Jewish passages. And so we need to understand the doctrine of these things, not add a word, not change a word. Let the Bible say what it says to who it said. And that's how you can, in essence, relax in your beliefs and let the Bible do our thinking for us. Isn't there an airline that says, let us do the flying for you, or something like that? Well, we can let the Bible do the thinking for us. And so that's what we can do. Verse 20, he says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Trusting in the Lord in handling a matter, when somebody asks you a Bible question or some issue or some counsel, you're trusting the Lord to give you the information that they need. 21. The wise in heart. Notice not wise in head. Proverbs 16:21. Am I in the right place?
Yeah. We are.
Oh. Okay. 16. At least it wasn't me this time. Okay, 16:21, the wise in heart, notice, the wise in heart, not the wise in head. You see, look in chapter 17, verse 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? See that? No heart to it. Understanding the Bible is not a head thing. It's a heart issue. A guy can have all the brains in the world as far as the world education goes. He can know all the language and everything, and he don't know anything in the Bible except for he wants to in his own heart. And understanding this book has always been, will always be, an heart issue. People who don't want to understand the Bible, and it's not how much a man is educated. Formal education is highly overrated. Okay, and so it says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of lips increaseth learning. Okay, a lot of times what the devil will do is he'll take a good word and give it a derogatory meaning. He'll try to ruin the English language. If somebody is a prude, people usually think negative towards them. But being prudent, a prudent driver is the safest drivers on the highway. They don't trust anybody. Okay, and so if the best drivers or travelers on the highway are the ones who don't trust anybody, then wouldn't the best students of this book be the same way? They don't trust anybody. That's what Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. See, a prudent man looketh well to his going. He don't believe everything that he's told. Especially the news media. Okay, the simple believes everything. And then verse 18, it says, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Patrick Henry said, suspicion is a virtue, not a vice. Boy, I want that a quote. First governor of Virginia makes the statement, suspicion is a virtue, not a vice. That's the American thinking at the beginning of our country. But it ain't that way now. If you ever get the opportunity, has anybody ever gone to Colonial Williamsburg down in Virginia? You've been there? Okay, a couple of you have been there. If you ever get the opportunity, it's a good place to go. You'll see that some of the American history that we teach, which is much different than the revision history, you'll find some of it right there. And they still give it out. We were there, part of our trip to Pennsylvania. We went down there after the funeral. We went down to Williamsburg. And they had on a Saturday, they was going to have a dissenter sermon at the Presbyterian Meeting House. And I thought, okay, the guy's going to preach about independence because it's supposed to be like 1775 preaching. So I went down there. And a dissenter would have been known as the Baptist and the Presbyterians. Anybody who wasn't an Anglican. Because at that time, the Anglican Church was the church, the established church of Virginia. And they actually had to pay taxes to it, but the Baptists and the Presbyterians refused to do that. And so they were called dissenters. And that's where we get the idea of the religious free exercise of religion is coming from the Baptist preachers of the 1700s. And at Williamsburg in the Capitol building, you walk in this one area, and there's a table there, and the guy, the tour guide, is kind of telling us what's going on there. And I'm reading a piece of paper on there. It's a letter from back in those days, and it said the Baptist dissenters, and it was talking about religious liberty, written right in there. Just a piece of paper sitting on there. Well, this Presbyterian dissenter was going to give this sermon. Actually, what he was doing is he was reading a sermon by Samuel Davies. And he was a preacher back then. I've got three of his thick books of Samuel Davies' preaching. He's a Calvinist, but still, when this guy preached, he had a packed house. It was probably the little building about the size of a two-car garage, but it was packed out. All these Americans in there, I'm thinking, boy, I wonder what this guy is going to preach. And he preached one of the clearest gospel messages anybody's going to ever hear through Jesus Christ alone, John 3, 1 through 16. I mean, the gospel presentation, he hit it right from top to bottom. And the only thing he didn't do is give an invitation. And afterwards, I said to Jen, I said, I hope this guy believes what he's preaching and he's just not acting. Because they have to act that. And so I talked to him a little bit afterwards and said, boy, that's good preaching. And had a little chat with him. And then I went down to the other end of Colonial Williamsburg where Patrick Henry is supposed to be giving a speech. And in that speech, he let some people ask some questions. And as Patrick Henry brought up the idea of the right to bear arms, and he said, you don't trust any government that infringes upon your right to bear arms. So I go, amen. And I wonder if these Americans sitting there are picking up on any of this stuff. I'm afraid it's just buzzing right over their head as people just get in line and follow the Patriot Act 1 and Patriot Act 2 and all the fine leadership that we have in our country. Walking right down a path to this slavery. Why? Because I'll tell you what's happening in our country is when a supposed conservative gets in office, the conservatives go to sleep. When Clinton was in office, they had their eyes wide open. And when they get someone who's portraying to be a conservative gets in office, they all go to sleep. And then he gets more accomplished than Clinton did in 8 years. That's what's happened in our country. Okay, and the thing is people aren't prudent anymore. Verse 21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. And the sweetness of lips increaseth learning. Well, the sweetness there would have to be implied to the honey of the Word of God. Psalms 19, verse 10. 22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Okay, you have three key words coming through Proverbs as knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge is knowing the facts. Wisdom is knowing how to live the facts. Understanding is knowing why you live the facts. Okay, when you understand something, when the Bible becomes so clear to you and you understand that, that motivates you to want to learn more. I get it. I understand it. When you give somebody the truth and you give it in an intellectual fashion, trying to impress them with your vast knowledge, and they do not understand that seed that's sown in their heart, the birds, the fowls of the air come and rip it right out. You've wasted your time. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, seeing we have such hope, I use great plainness of speech. And that's why I talk so straight and plain, so that when I'm done speaking, people say, I don't have to get a dictionary to figure out what he wanted me to understand. Because I want people to understand what this book says, and I want them to see for themselves what it says. I don't want anybody to believe a word I say unless they could see it for themselves in this blessed book. That way the convictions become personal between you and God. And understanding is a wellspring of life. Okay, that cross-reference on wellspring, I've got John 4, verse 14 there. And the one that's going to help us to understand the Scriptures is the author of the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost. John 4, verse 14. The author of the book is the greatest teacher of the book. And John 16, verse 13 says that the Spirit of God is going to guide you into all truth. Now the thing is a lot of times what people do is that they think they get to a level of attainment of knowledge and growth in the Lord, and then they just kind of plateau off, and then they become stagnant, and they don't grow anymore at all. And a lot of times, like when I headed out to Colorado Springs to become a youth pastor, assistant pastor out of there, you know, been through 5 years of Christian college and all that stuff. And people, you get on the streets and start dealing with people and they get asking you Bible questions, you can't answer them. And the Spirit of God says, they got you. They got you, and you weaseled out of it at the time, but on the way home, the Spirit of God is just letting you have it. You didn't understand. You didn't know the answer. You didn't know the answer. You think you're smart. You ain't smart. You're an idiot. And you realize, you know, you go through all those years of school and you didn't get much of anything as far as the Bible goes. You may have got a lot of good things, but as far as Bible knowledge goes, forget Christian colleges. They spend too much time reading books about the Bible rather than reading the Bible. That's what they're doing. And so I just got verse by verse tapes and went through that thing all over again, Genesis to Revelation. And that's when I started learning this blessed book. And when I seen what this blessed book in English says, man, I got so thrilled about this thing. And that's what I was looking for all along. I was close to it. A lot of times a fundamentalist is close to it, but he just isn't right there. And that's what the devil will do to people. He'll get you close, but you just ain't right there. There's a difference between a fundamentalist and a Bible believer. Big difference. A fundamentalist is somebody that's just got a few set beliefs in there, and that's basically all you're going to get from them. A fundamentalist is can be a Baptist, can be a Presbyterian, can be a Lutheran, can be a Muslim, can be all this stuff. You know, I used to hate it when I'd hear the news media call the Muslims the fundamentalist Muslims. I used to hate that because I figured they were equating them with me, a fundamental Baptist. Man, now I love it because it's right. They're right on that. A fundamental Baptist, basically all you're going to hear is building baptisms and budgets. And building and baptisms and budgets. That's all you're going to hear. And you're going to find out what they know in about 6 months. You can labor them. You can know what they're going to preach about. But a Bible believer should make you unexpected. What's he going to preach about now? Well, it could be government. Could be this. Could be that. Could be this. Could be the banking institution. And the corrupt banking institution and how they're stealing Americans blind. Yeah. The international banking cartel. And how America has up in Alaska one pool of oil up there that can supply America for 200 years. It's been capped. Federal government told them to cap it. I have scheduled a man to come in March that was the chaplain on the Alaskan pipeline. He heard them in the executive meetings himself, personally. He's written a book, The Non-Energy Crisis. Remember when that thing came out in the 70s, the energy crisis? I remember when that thing came out, I can remember my dad said, it's all a hoax. It's all a hoax. And I thought, how did he know that? That time I'm thinking, how did he know that? It is. It's all a hoax. And that's what Lindsey Williams would tell you. It's all a hoax. If you want to get some of the stuff, get on the web. You find Lindsey Williams. You can find some books that he's written. I got them scheduled for March. But I tell you, what's going on, it's just, what's going on as far as America goes is the powers that be has to break our country. The powers that be has got to bust it in order for our nation to bow the knee to the United Nations. They did it once back in the Great Depression, which was orchestrated by the bankers. And in fact, they were so cocky, the bankers, the international bankers, they would take somebody to Wall Street and the New York Stock Exchange. They'd take them there and say, watch this. And then a guy would jump out and they'd commit suicide. They'd see how powerful we are? We orchestrate this thing. And that's what they did. It's all orchestrated. And if you want to read some of the Federal Reserve documents, I've got them, where they'll tell you right in them, we create money out of thin air. They don't hide it. It's right there in front of us. The creature from Jekyll Isle is another one. Okay, John 4:14, it says, and whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him, shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This book right here, this King James Bible, deals with government 70% of the time. And I know that's usually a charge against me, as you know, I preach too much about government things. But that's how our country began. It was preachers that was preaching about these things in the 1770s and 1776 and so forth and so on. That's who was telling them to do these things, showing them the tyranny that was going on. Proverbs 16, verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. The heart of the wise. Notice again, not head. Not head. When you're sincerely trying to follow the truth in all areas of life, study health. I major in three areas of study. Obviously, the Bible is number one, but number two is law. Number three is health. Americans just say, well, you need to get your kids immunized. What for? Why do we need to get them immunized? Well, so they don't get polio. Are you guaranteeing that we'll not get polio? We've had Rex Harrison preach for us as he uses his crutches to get up the stairs because he was inflicted with polio. He had all his vaccines. You see, Americans just, you know, they're just, Americans are to the point where you just do it and we'll tell you, just do it, just do it. They're sheeples where they're at. And it says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. A heart that wants to know the truth. Now, once you know the truth, what are you going to do with it? I don't know what to do with it sometimes. I don't know what to do about the banking stuff. You know, I try to get a case going down there in Rensselaer, but the old judge is really, when you got to fight the judge and the attorneys at the same time, it's kind of on hold at this point. But I'd like to run a discovery process with a banking institution. That would be so much fun to me. Get them to admit all this stuff. But, you know, just a heart that's trying to get the truth. Just saying, Lord, I want the truth. I want to know the truth in all areas of life. I want to know how to raise my family the right way. I want to know how to run my finances the way that's pleasing to you. I want to know what you want us to do in our country. Is there something we could do to help this country? I don't know. I have no idea. But it's a heart that's searching hard for the truth. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Always wanting to learn something. Always trying to search something. And then he says, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The pleasant words would be the words of Scripture, even though this book is going to reprove us time and time again. Okay, notice it's sweet to the soul, but boy, is it hard on the flesh. My flesh hates this book. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but my soul sure does love it. Notice its health to the bones, verse 24. The Bible is a healthy book. Now, I understand that when you start studying alternative health and you try to learn some things about other areas of health, reflexology, get into that, you know, aromatherapy, get into that stuff and all sorts of stuff. You're gonna meet new agey people. You're gonna see people that you wonder if they got a broom in the closet. That's what you're going to see. And they may even come in on the broom in the closet. But the thing is those people are trying to take care of their physical body. And it's a smart thing for them to do because they better try to live as long as they possibly can because they're going to hell. But you see, Christians who are secure in Jesus Christ don't care about their body a lot of times. And that's why they're just as sick as a dog. And we got a body the Lord wants to take care of. And we got to take care of this body right here. I tell you, fat preachers just drive me nuts. I think it's a disgrace to the ministry. You see, they can preach on drunkenness, but do they preach on gluttony? Oh boy, I'm meddling now, aren't I? Probably quit this meddling.
Amen.
Amen. But you see, they'll preach against drunkenness. But Proverbs 23, it says, it puts gluttony and drunkenness in the same verse. Same thing. These preachers are preaching the flesh, but if the guy get behind a pulpit and preach drunk, everybody in the church will vote him out. But he'll get behind a pulpit and preach in the flesh, and they won't think anything of it. Same thing. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I tell you, I've talked to a lot of guys who are drunks, you know, can't get off the bottle, and a lot of the guys got some wisdom. If they can get off the bottle. And I wonder sometimes that the devil knows if they get off the bottle, they can do a lot of damage to his work, so he just keeps pressure on them. The Lord just looks at things a lot different than what man does. So he says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Health to the bones. This book's a healthy thing, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Spending time in this book's a healthy thing. When a man messes with this book, I've seen it, God will mess with his brain. Now, I don't know, you know, none of us know all the backgrounds about people like in mental wards, but I wonder how many of them there because of spiritual sin. Now, I know you got different things that causes somebody to lose their mind. You know, it could be, sometimes it's just a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's true mental problems. Sometimes it's a spiritual problem. In Daniel chapter 4, old Nebuchadnezzar got stuck in a nut house, acted like an animal for 7 years. Patrick Henry's wife went kind of nuts on him after their sixth child. This often is, what do they call it, a post-pregnancy depression or something like that? Postpartum depression? There's something to that stuff. And a person has to understand their body. And she died. Patrick Henry's first wife died. He didn't know what to do with her. They didn't have much to help back then. And he was—he said she's trying to do bodily damage to herself, so he stuck her like in a padded place. And he said his enemies were telling everybody that he chained his wife in a dungeon and all that stuff. Well, she died, and he married a second time. And I think the second wife, he had 11 kids with her. The first one was 6, the first one. So there's a lot there for him. Still got descendants going around, running all over the place. So this book's a healthy thing for us. The Bible's a healthy thing. Verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, that verse has got a parallel, 14:12. So this verse is found twice in Proverbs. There is a way, notice it says, that seemeth right. It seems right to me. Look if you would in Psalms 69, verse 21. Psalm 69:21. It says, they gave me also gall for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, you see a cross-reference, you might see quickly that this is associated with Calvary. Okay, they gave me, Jesus Christ, also gall for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Okay, so they approached him twice on Calvary. One was vinegar. One was vinegar mingled with gall. That would be an alcoholic sedative. That one he refused. The other one he took. The vinegar. Something like apple cider vinegar. Okay, that's what they did to him. Now notice what the judgment was to them. Verse 22. It says, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been their welfare, let it become a trap. People sit down at a table and they think that the food's there for their welfare, but it's a trap. The schools teach the four basic food groups. Eat all that one meal. Animals don't do that. It says in Job that ask now the beasts and they'll teach thee. Why do they come up with this four basic food groups? Who pays the grants for the education? Follow the money line. The diet, the original diet, Genesis 1:29, was fruit, anything that grew above the ground. After sin, it was fruit and vegetables. After the flood, it was meat. That's when meat got introduced, after the flood. Genesis 9, verse 4. But now it's anything, the way people eat nowadays in America. And you see, people think they're eating this stuff and it's for their welfare, and then America's just as sick as could be. And the thing is we've got to realize what we put in this mouth is, we got to figure out what is the proper fuel for this body. And this body works on certain kinds of fuel. How many of you watched, Super Size Me? Anybody see Super Size Me? And I watched that thing. There's a guy who ate at McDonald's for 30 days straight. And he had three like nutritionists or doctors gave him all sorts of examinations before. Then he went on a 30-day McDonald's binge. And he was examine him halfway through, or all this stuff, and it's quite a thing, interesting thing to watch. And Buck killed the guy. I mean, it's something to watch. I've done this before, and I've never yet had a mother raise her hand. But how many mothers would take a glass of water? 16-ounce glass of water, take a teaspoon of sugar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, that would be the max, stir it up and give them to their child to drink. I've yet to have a mother raise her hand on that one. Well, now if you pump in a little bit of carbonation in that, put a little bit of coloration in that, put a nice color on the outside, and then they let them drink it all the time. And a can of pop will destroy, it will hurt your immune system. One can of pop would hurt your immune system that day for one third. So if you got three cans, you shot your immune system for that day. I wasn't planning on preaching against Pepsi, but that's how it goes. Coke works real good on battery acid. Yeah. I've used Coke on battery acid. Burn acid. Yeah. Yeah, it used to have Coke in it. Cocaine. Okay, 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. 26. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. Okay, so there's our purpose for work. We work because we like to eat. The cross-reference on the word mouth, Ecclesiastes 6:7, it says all labor. Let me get it exactly. Ecclesiastes 6:7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. That's why in the Bible it says in 2 Thessalonians that if a man is not willing to work, neither should he eat. What God does is He gives man appetite to encourage him to work. The welfare program is neither well nor fair. Okay, and in the Bible, the welfare program in the Scriptures was the person, the welfare recipient, had to go out and do something to get it. They had to work for it. So the crop, the fields weren't to be planted corner to corner. They were to take the animals and curve it off so they have a corner section in there where somebody can use that for a garden. And they were not to glean the crops. They let the poor go out there and glean the crops. So the welfare, obviously the welfare system in this country is designed specifically to get people strapped into the system. Okay, so verse 26, he that laboreth, laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. 27, ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Now, what's that sound like? In his lips there is as a burning fire. Some use that for cigarettes. I'm not saying that's what it is, but I would dare say that if the Lord intended us to smoke, He'd put our nose upside down. But then again, if you sneeze, you blow your hat off. So that's a problem. But I'd rather have a smoker than a gossip. So, you know, it's just different things. I know people have problems with certain things. Oh, Charles Spurgeon liked to smoke his cigars. Okay, but this verse 27, 28, 29, and 30, if you put those together, I can see the news media involved here. Their techniques. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. 30, he shutteth his eyes to the truth. 27 to 30, that basically is the technique of the news mafia. News industry. Their purpose is not to give the news. Their purpose is to try to manipulate the thinking of Americans. That's what the news media does. They don't hide this. Back in 1957, there was a man that was given some news media honor, some news media award, and when he accepted the award, he said, gentlemen, you and I both know that we cannot tell the truth. And if any of us told us the truth, we'd be out of a job the next morning. I mean, that's been going on for years. The news is intended to control the people's thinking. That's what their intention is. And a person has to be very cautious about these things. And then if you study anything about subliminal advertisements, the news media advertisements, they will throw in perverted things in there so that they could attack our subconscious thinking. And there's a lot done with that, and a lot of studies done with that. Okay, so verse 27 to 30. The news media would be a good shot for that. Now, a godly man diggeth up evil to preach against it. Okay, ungodly men dig up evil so that they can sow strife for personal gain. So that's I got down in a footnote, ungodly men of journalism, socialism, and the scholars of Alexandria shut their eyes to the truth and entice people to follow a lie. And that's exactly what they do. Okay, 31. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Okay, generally speaking, the older people get, the more conservative they become. Isn't that true? The reason why that's true is because they have reaped so many rotten crops from their liberal thinking, and they have to admit that their thinking was wrong. That's if they're honest. Now, when you find somebody who's elderly and is an extreme liberal, you're dealing with a dishonest person. Ted Kennedy. I mean, you're dealing with somebody that's... And actually, for somebody to call themselves a liberal, if you know your Bible, that is a clue that they are a vile person. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 32. Liberal in the Bible is a good term, but of course today, a liberal in the Bible is somebody who's giving of their own money. A liberal in politics is somebody who's giving of your money, somebody else's money. So cold in Washington, D.C., where they actually saw Ted Kennedy with his hands in his own pocket. That's pretty cold. Okay, now that's what the liberals do. They use money to buy votes. That's obvious what they're doing. So anybody that calls himself a liberal prior to the tribulation, if you understand this passage right, the way I'm looking at it, that shows me they're vile people. Okay, now let's get to context. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Doctrinally, what's that applied to? The millennium. Jesus Christ is the king in righteousness. Prior to the millennium, verse 5, the vile person shall be no more called liberal. So prior to the millennium, a vile person called himself a liberal. Nor the churl is said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. And it goes down to 28 also, or verse 8. It says, the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Okay, let's see. Proverbs 16. The hoary head is a crown of glory. The hoary head, gray head, is a crown of glory. Now, the crown of glory is also associated with faithfully teaching the Word of God, 1 Peter 5. But in Oriental cultures, they have a hold great respect for the hoary head. The youth of America today show no respect for the hoary head. And that's why they're idiots. And the thing is in Vietnam, Mike Roberts showed me that in their culture in Vietnam, if there's twins born, the oldest twin, 10 minutes older than the other, whatever, can exercise his right of authority over the other one, and the other one submit because of age. Just that quick to them. That's the way they are. And that's a good thing. And that's why, you know, we do certain things, like when we have a potluck, the adults eat first. Kids getting back in line. Now, I know that usually church potlucks, the kids in the front pushing and shoving, and you know, and all the adults are trying to spend for themselves. Tough apples, get out of here, kid. Parents, adults going first. And that's the way it should be. Because of respect. And then the teenagers follow, then the little ones follow the teenagers. Okay, so... Do I have anything written there? 32. I don't got anything there. I don't know right now. Pool?
Picked up what?
In six? Oh, in nine, but you got a paragraph mark at nine. Right. Okay. Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay, Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than a mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. There's the greatest soldier right there, the man who can conquer himself. Did I hear the tape kick back there?
Yeah.
33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. See the word lot? That's where we get the word lottery. I've told a story here. I'll tell it quicker since I've told it. I think I told it recently. There was a family that came to Rensselaer Church, and I was teaching on that verse. And so they went home, and they put three church names in a hat. And they were going to ask the Lord to show them which church to go to. I don't know the other two church names, but ours was one. So they drew out of the hat, and our church name came up. They didn't like that answer. So they threw it back in a hat. And they did that five times straight. Five times our church name came out. And then the grandmother walked into the living room, and six out of six times our church name came out. How we know this is they told my wife this in a grocery store one time. Guess what church they didn't go to? So there's something to it about this thing. And there's times I do believe that you flip a coin and help you give you the answer. If you got a way that goes, you can go. And both ways, you don't know which way is right. And both ways can be right. Flip a coin. I don't see anything wrong with that. I do it quite often. Sometimes two out of three, sometimes three out of five. Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to 16, 32, and 33 probably next time. Any questions, comments, Brother Paul?